Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And you know there's not a lot of sport happening when the main event last night, Sky Sports main event, was Sky Sports News.
Really?
Great.
Well, there's always sports news, well, you know, as we've just been discovering event, with Fletch. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. You couldn't take in any football in last night, and there was nothing to watch. There's
nothing to watch, really. Yeah. It was quite difficult. What can you do? But, of course, we're delighted.
Will you watch the conference plate tonight?
I probably will, actually, because we're working tomorrow, so, you know, should keep an eye on it. I didn't even realise Feyenoord were in the final.
It's great, isn't it?
So funny.
We had a go at Alan in the clips of the week last week, and I said, we'll get Marcel on today, because he'll be in Tirana, Marcel van der Kroon, our Dutch, because it's Feyenoord. He said, is it? No, it didn't even register.
I know, it's not good, is it? And
you've eaten at football's top table for too long to be worrying about stuff like the conference plate.
Love the conference next year.
Maybe. The conference plate may be a big deal. The race for seventh, we'll all be there.
I see the Duke of Kent attended the Chelsea Flower Show. Of course, he was only interested in strawberry plants and lawn fertiliser.
Yeah, well, what an actor he was, lawn fertiliser. Yeah.
And also, I get a lot out of the court circular when there's no football on.
Yeah.
The announcements of the engagement of Miss A.K. Toogood. She must be an Everton fan, as in too good to go down.
Yeah. Well, let's not go there. Yeah. Thank goodness you didn't take that to its logical conclusion.
That's true.
So, what we're looking for this afternoon from the listeners is the day you pushed your luck. Okay. I think probably we all did it as kids at some point, whether it was somebody who was about 3 or 4 years older than us. But in this case, it was some gobby students, we were told in today's Sun.
Yeah.
Who saw Anthony Joshua walking past their dorm window and thought they'd give him a load of clog. So they started saying, you're frightened of Tyson Fury and you've been ducking fights. And he took so much of this, probably because he gets someone who's a bit leery from the safety of five floors up and a locked door. Mm. But he must have bit on something. So what he did was he rang the buzzer in the building and someone let him in.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the people in the room, but probably not, I'm guessing. So he went up to the room and he gave him a bit of a volley and a warning. Remember, you're running your mouth, he said, etc., etc. We weren't going to the complete details of it.
I'm surprised they didn't complain about having hurt feelings. You know, students are like, so.
Well, in this case, they probably learnt more than they ever did at most of the lectures they've ever had before. And I think we've all learnt that the hard way. Well, maybe people have learnt that from you. We're not violent men, Mr. Forty, and we're not condoning, so I turned around and gave him a good hiding. But there are times in life, I think, when we all push our luck sometimes. So we're looking for your tales, much like those students, of just pushing your luck. So talksport.com, text 81089. You can tweet TSHNJ, that's TSHANDJ. You can text us at 81089 and give us your stories this afternoon.
And I went to the exhibition at the Design Museum yesterday afternoon.
It's the football exhibition, yeah.
Designing the Beautiful Game.
We had the curator in. It sounded very good.
Really good. I would say it's a bit pricey. We got the concession price of, I think it was $12.50 or something. You know, it's not that big an exhibition, right. But it is good. It has some interesting stuff in there. And I quite like the women's table football. I showed you that. And there's women's to beauty. I didn't know that either.
Right.
Some old stuff like you'd expect, like blow football. I've never heard of finger footer.
No, what was that? Well, this is the game from what sort of era?
I think really early, one of the earliest football games, real sort of 1908 or something like
Blimey.
That. Yeah, yeah.
They also, there's got some eclectic stuff. You said it had the calling cards of the various hooligan firms.
Oh, yeah. They were
from
good.
Over the years. I mean, it's...
You've
it's,
been... Well, that was the thing, wasn't it? They basically beat you to a pulp and then they just leave a card on you, which I thought was a terrible thing to do.
Yeah.
The Intercity firm, there, that was the West Ham group.
No one from the local printing shop ever felt it was a good idea to tell the police, I take it.
Yeah.
Just had a bloke come and ask for 200 cards.
I know.
Yeah.
Leeds United fans can seriously damage your health. You've been warned.
Blimey.
So it's
an interesting thing that they should have that amongst all the other games.
Yeah,
what else did they have there?
What else did they have? Wembley. Do you remember that game?
Yes.
It's
yeah,
a bit
yeah.
like Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had that kit. Because it's a collaboration, the Cameroon kit, all in one.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. That was quite good.
Which you wore as like a, it was like a bodysuit, wasn't it? The shorts were just sort of all part of the suit, shirt and shorts
combined. That's right.
Combined.
So there was also a thing from Eastbourne Town Ultras, where they've taken famous labels like Marmite and Heinz and made them into their own sort of thing. Ultras, that's just a really odd situation.
Yeah.
Cream of Eastbourne Town FC soup, but like Heinz.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know anything.
That was a new one on me. No, I didn't know anything about that either. But my wife enjoyed it. She didn't like football, but she enjoyed
it. She enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So worth going along.
I'd say so.
If a bit pricey.
Yep.
Okay, where is the Design Museum, Andy?
Kensington. London's Kensington.
So if you find yourself in London, pop along.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us, we were saying some students pushed their luck with Anthony Joshua shouting stuff at him from a dorm window. He managed to get into the building and have a word with them. So, pushing your luck. I met one of my heroes, the wonderful Alan Minter, says Paul. Mm. And in conversation, made the mistake of saying, I was surprised he wasn't taller. My observation didn't go down too well, he says. I was lucky to get out alive. So keep telling us your stories.
Much of Alan Minter had beaten him up just for saying he was a bit short.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Andy, what were you saying there?
I was talking about the woman in the Times announcements. I can't remember her name now, her first name. Miss Toogood.
Yes.
And I said she was an Everton fan because they were too good to go down. Hmm. But just looking at my LinkedIn page, somebody called Carly Toogood, must be related, I suppose, has just viewed my profile.
Not necessarily related. Probably wants to send you some hate mail for having a pop at her surname and not going through with the rest
of... It's quite an unusual name, though, isn't it? Alexandra is the name of the Toogood that got engaged.
Okay, well, great. Congratulations to her. Fantastic. Now, it's often the case when a Sunday team has a good season... they'll go to the cup final, won't they? They'll have the suits on, they'll have a coach, they'll lay on a coach.
Oh, we've done that.
Yeah, of course, that's the way to do it. But then you can up the ante a touch. When you've had a season as good as College Wanderers FC in Scunthorpe, they lifted the EC Surfacing Limited Scunthorpe and District Football League Division 1 title.
Oh, the magic.
I don't need to tell you that. But they did more than that. I think they won the Challenge Cup. and the Sporting Shield. What a season for them. They've done the treble. So they thought, let's get an open-top bus.
Yeah, that's one level above an ordinary coach. That
it certainly is.
I'm impressed with that.
And they went round the streets of Scunthorpe, and here to tell us more about that is Craig Hunsley. He is the co-manager of College Wanderers FC. Craig, good afternoon.
Afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
we
should say for doing travels. I mean, I hopefully got manager of the year or co-manager of the year for
and
that.
And player manager.
And player manager, yes.
I think we're just waiting for the end of season awards for that to come.
Okay. We don't want to influence the vote. So whose idea was it to go open top bus, not just anything else?
So when we were doing well, coming towards the end of the season, one of the players came up with the idea, come on, lads, if we win the treble, shall we do an open-top bus? He's often coming up with daft ideas, is Matty, and we all sort of brushed it off. But obviously, we won the league, we won the cup, and then as it came to the final cup, we won that. Mm. And the idea that he was born, it became reality.
What was the attitude of the company? You tell them, you have to tell the company you're hiring it from, what you're doing it for, I take it.
We just said we wanted to drive around Scunthorpe for 2 hours, and yeah, they were fine.
That was it. Okay,
that was it. Yeah.
Did you need permission from the local council? That sort of idea.
No, we did think about that, but we thought better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Well, that's a beautiful phrase that has become the mantra of most of the TalkSport listeners from this point of view when they spend all night in
so
the pub.
Tell us a little bit about the team, because that's a fine achievement. I was reading that you don't get much chance to train, so how have you become so decent?
So I think, well, we have an average age of sort of 36. We've all been half decent players in our time at sort of local level and a few at semi-pro clubs and what have you. Not very high up the pyramid. But we're all sort of coming to the end of our career, and we did what we did. The start of the season, we lost the first game, believe it or not, in the Lynx Cup. So it didn't look too promising. We were struggling for players, but we got a team together from Christmas onwards, and it snowballed, and it's been amazing.
Yeah. So what did the people of Scunthorpe make of you going around the streets for 2 hours waving at them?
The reaction was great, to be honest. We kind of thought it might be 2 minutes, and we thought, what are we doing this for? But it was probably one of the best 2 hours. I've been married, I've got kids, but two of the best hours of my life. It was hilarious. Cars were following us, beeping horns. Obviously, people that knew that we were doing it, all 15 of them were out on the streets.
Yeah, it
was funny. Great.
And so did you go right into the centre of town? Did you go past all the sort of built-up areas? Did you kind of get right into the metropolis of Scunthorpe?
Yeah. Yeah, the ex-manager actually, Plummer, he drove the route and planned it out the week before, so we knew where we were going. We gave the route to the driver and we went, obviously, down through the town centre, around, down past Glanford Park, trying not to rub it in Scunthorpe United's nose too much, obviously.
Oh, dear. Disastrous season. You had a much better season than them, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. What about the good people at EC Surfacing Limited? Do they have anything to say about it?
This is probably the first they're hearing about it. Or yesterday when it was in the sun. I'm not sure.
They'll be aware of a great promo for them, isn't it? For all your surfacing needs in the Scunthorpe area. Have you got many Scunthorpe fans in the team?
Yeah, we've got a few. We've got young Aidan, our youngest player, 18. He's a big Scunthorpe United fan. And we've got a few others. But yeah, it's mainly, I suppose, Man United and Liverpool fans we're made up of.
Well, things keep picking up for you and it keeps going the same way for them. You could be playing them soon, couldn't you, Craig? This is the, what about that? Could be playing at Scunthorpe?
I think we'd give them an half-decent game.
So, would you do it again? Would you recommend it to other clubs? It costs you about £40 each, apparently. You all had to chip in to hire the open top bus.
It was £40, and it was If I would do it all over again, yeah, it was a £40 well spent. 2 hours there where we had great fun. It's a team that's been going since 1966. Over the last probably 10 years is when it's had its most success. We've won a fair few league titles. We've won, the Lynx Cup. And, this tops it off. To any other teams out there, the reaction that we've had has been fantastic. I'd definitely recommend it.
We should mention your local pub, because they've obviously contributed as well. Yeah. The Talbot Inn.
Yes, the Talbot Inn is where we drink from every weekend. So we go back there, pay our subs, do the team card. They put a curry, Christine and Kev put a curry on for us. we have a drink and a sing song in there. Penny Arcade being our club anthem.
All right. And the bus to leave and end up there. So that was where the parade started and ended, I take it, yeah?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, well, as I say, you may well have started a trend. Mm. And I hope you have a good season next season. Maybe we'll be chatting to you again. I don't know where you can go after this, though, Craig. How do you kind of a fly past? You can only have a banner going over the last game on a biplane or something. You've got to find a way to up the ante after this.
There's talk of an end of season tour, bus tour around Benidorm next year. Oh. Put it that way.
Okay, classy. Yep, okay, we can see which way this is going. Cheers, Craig. Thanks very much.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
There we are, Craig Hunsley there, the co-manager of College Wanderers FC, who went with the open top bus.
Good fun.
Well done to them. I just noticed, Andy, the IPL is still on. It seems to have been on for about 3 years.
In the last week of it. It's the, yesterday, the, God, I can't even remember who they're called now. Is it Gujarati? They beat Rajasthan Royals to get to directly to the final. Rajasthan Royals. It's a funny system they have. They have two playoff games, and then one goes straight through to the final, and then the other one plays the winner of the other playoff game.
Seems to have been on for a long time.
Oh, it does go on for a long time.
Yeah.
Joss Butler again, brilliant again yesterday, though. Fantastic.
Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
In the meantime, Andy, what did you want to talk about?
Yeah, an Arsenal top, Patrick Vieira, wore in 2005 in his fight with Manchester United's Roy Keane. It wasn't actually a fight, was it? It was more a staring out. Yeah. Made £9,000 at a London auction. I thought it would be better if he sort of twinned it with the shoes he wore last week to have a go at that Everton fan.
Chuck them in as an extra.
That was a
pretty powerful old bit of telly at the time, wasn't it? Mm. I remember chatting to Graham Pohl, who was in the thick of that, trying to keep them apart. Yeah.
Yeah, and yesterday...
As Roy weighed in, of course. Well, he did, really. Pick on someone your own size was the first, was his opening line, wasn't it, to Patrick Vieira?
Well, I think it's fair enough.
As he went in on Gary Neville,
Pretty wholehearted players, fair enough. Heart specialists have recommended only watching an hour of TV a day, which is not great for football fans, is it? What should you do? First half or second half?
Yeah.
That's mad. I don't know why they make suggestions like that. It's completely stupid. No one's going to do that.
You wouldn't want to watch 24 hours on A&E either, would you? If you're going to pick 1 hour of telly, make sure it's not that.
Yeah, not ideal. The June issue of Vogue contained a behind-the-scenes info on Brooklyn Peltz Beckham's wedding.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Well, you clearly do.
I don't.
Haven't you bought a copy?
No.
We discovered, Andy, one of the things we did discover was that Brooklyn and his wife Nicola fed guests £3 burgers from her dad's fast food chain.
Well, did they charge them?
No, they didn't. No, but they basically brought a Wendy's truck in. Wendy, because the old man invests in the business.
You know, obviously often it gets to a certain point in the do, doesn't it, where you know...
It was their version of the bacon roll, wasn't it? Bacon roll situation, as Glenn would probably call it if he was a wedding planner. I'd like to see Glenn Hoddle as a wedding planner.
Yeah, we didn't eat at all, says Nick. Yeah, no, that'd be good.
Let's not run with it. Let's take it as read that he'd do it fantastically well, and Glenn as a wedding. I've got no idea. He's good at everything.
Yeah, he is. When you get it tactically, get it right.
You think?
I think he would.
Like, tactically get a wedding right, but he really... Okay.
There was. It reminds me, there was an exhibition, there was an exhibit at this Design in Football thing that I went to yesterday. It was just basically all the formations that exist in world football on a poster.
Right.
So what a marvellous poster for Glenn Hoddle or Ian Dowie.
Yes, it would be sensational.
But they brought in, as you say, the Wendy's truck. Brooklyn had it. It was my idea, he says, claiming everything. It was a perfect final touch.
This is you. Who cares, is it? Yeah. You're drilling
the rabbi apparently was very nervous.
Was he?
Yeah. He says here, who oversaw the ceremony, referred to Brooklyn by his famous dad's name twice. So he called Brooklyn David. Which is not surprising, actually. He's a bit of a clone of him with the old tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
Minus the football playing abilities.
Okay. I'm sure Jackie Mason had a bit on a nervous rabbi, I would imagine. But I don't know. I don't know where it would take all Woody Allen.
He was that nervous, was he?
No, he's
done quite a lot of weddings, I would imagine.
Yeah.
That would be my idea.
Yes.
Somebody wrote into the... This is an odd one. But two Newcastle fans wrote into the Sun today. They said, we watch Man City fans' victory parade on TV. Boy, those Mancunians know how to party. Why would you care? And why would you write in? It's an odd thing to write in, isn't it?
It does seem a bit strange, yeah.
Oh, yes, I love the way they do that.
Andy, how long can you hold a plank for? I don't mean like a piece of wood. I'm talking about in the yeah.
I did think you meant the plank. Well, I actually do. I know it does, you wouldn't know from my ridiculous bowling ball stomach.
Yeah.
But I do a 2-minute plank. Which is quite good, but not as good. The best
do you want to do it for us now? I'm quite willing to fit. Yeah, we have got a couple of minutes if you fancy it. So I'll put the mic down on the floor for you. You've been talking like that.
Yeah, it's quite hard to breathe when you're sort of planking.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I remember the one. Do you remember Paddy Power, the Paddy Power box?
Yes.
In Cheltenham when they had a plank competition. It went on for ages.
It did.
Two fellas who looked much the worse for wear and had quite large stomachs but were able to plank for an indefinite period.
That wasn't
period.
The day when there was an international, without saying his name, an international footballer who was in the box that day. And we said, do you fancy coming on? He said, I'm not supposed to be here. Yeah, I think he went down to the final competition.
Oh, he was in it.
The Tipsters competition. I think he was there that way, that day. Yeah, you know you are. Your secret is safe with us. Anyway. I bring this up, Andy, because Gus Yee, who's 73, Gus Yee, 73, you've got to have a system. he very impressively held a plank for 8 minutes, 37 seconds.
God.
Which is very impressive. He is some way short of the world record. And we now bring back our well-known quiz show, which for some reason has never quite been picked up.
Have another guess.
By, the TV companies. Have another guess.
Oh, here we go.
The Australian, Daniel Scally, I don't know if he is or not, probably. He set the Guinness World Record for the plank last August. How long did he... It's in hours.
Yeah, I was going to say 15 hours, 37 minutes.
15 hours, 37 minutes. Have another guess.
Higher or lower?
It's lower.
Okay. 10 hours, 29 minutes.
Okay. Have another guess.
And higher or lower?
It's lower. Just one more lower and call it a day.
7 hours.
No, it was 9.5 hours. It's not
particularly... It's quite a long time.
Managed the tension particularly well there, didn't I?
Did he need to go to the loo?
I don't know. That's all the information I've got. You know, someone's going to have to look that one up.
Was it on telly? Wouldn't it make great TV, would it, really? You know, heart specialist said you could only watch an hour of it.
Yeah, that's true. Watch the first hour of Daniel Scally's plank and then you're going to have to turn off. Yeah.
Pat, this caught me on my attention as well today. They're looking for a new host of Countdown.
Are they?
Apparently, yes. So now Anne Robinson has left.
Colin's been doing, isn't he?
I think Colin's in the frame, really.
Yeah, should
but
be, yeah.
Hugh Edwards is behind them, I think, for the job. And it says at the end of it, you'll just have to join the queue, Hugh. Hugh Barney McGrew.
Paul Simon's doing a new version of 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, is he? Built around Countdown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway, bloke on the Elizabethan line. Is that what it's called?
The Elizabeth line.
It's not called the Elizabethan line.
Imagine what that would be like. One. Standing there, trying to get in with your rough collar. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? We're off. Where are you going? I'm going off to the hunting grounds of Paddington. There used to be all trees around here. Imagine the last time I went out, came out this way. Sort
of beam, ceiling of the carriages.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
The Elizabeth line.
The only listed, the Elizabeth line. Yeah, yeah.
Because I had the day off yesterday.
You were talking about going for a ride on it.
Yeah, I thought yesterday.
Grow
would be
up. What's the matter with you?
I thought it was quite fun to
it's
go the first day.
It's a form of transport. It's not.
I couldn't get on.
It's
people,
not Disneyland.
People queued.
I know. And
not only that, this bloke, I don't know how he did this. He had a waistcoat made and a mask out of the same material that the seats were made out of. So he must have found out who made the seats, bought the material, and then got somebody to knock him up a waistcoat.
Yeah.
Seems a lot of work just for the first day.
Bit of a self-styled character, if you'd ask me.
Well, I'd say so. Not as bad as that bloke who shouts at trains who got a special tour.
Yes, I
know.
He's
become so famous, that bloke.
Andy, one day you'll reach that level of fame. Maybe when you've...
I tried it, but I couldn't get the camera right. I did it at Chiswick Station. I shouted at the 1029.
You are desperate for that. You and your TikTok. You are quite desperate to become a TikTok
sensation.
I'm never
going viral. Do you know that?
Mark...
Except for the wrong reasons. Obviously.
Yes, of course. Mark in Scunny says, I played for College Wanderers 15 years ago and we were rubbish. Well, things have clearly picked up. I mean, to the point where they get... open top bus rides. I'm pushing your luck, says Paul in Shrewsbury. I once met Uri Geller at Shrewsbury Town whilst he was at Exeter. I shook his hand and then asked a steward behind him if the kitchen had hidden all the spoons in readiness for his arrival. Not a bad line. I'm sure we get used to it.
Did he laugh?
Embarrassing and awkward laughter after seeing Uri Geller's reaction. I don't think he must be used to the spoon material, isn't he?
I think he quite likes it, doesn't he?
Yeah. There was a game on last night, Andy. It was the National League playoff on BT Sport, and it was a good game.
Was it? Who played?
It was Halifax-Chesterfield. Halifax played Chesterfield, and they lost 2-1. Well done to Chesterfield. They now play Solihull. I don't have to tell you that. Solihull Moors in the semi-final.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That'll be good.
Well, I won't watch it, of course.
So committed to the world. Yeah, let's remember, of course, who sent that one in to tell you. It was Craig, the Arsenal fan. Non-league football to Andy is anybody in the bottom half of the Premier League.
below top six. I might have to adjust to below top eight.
That is the amateur game. Yeah, you may have to change that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, we don't spend a great deal of time on this radio station talking about modern pentathlon. I think it's fair to say it's not the heartland.
I think we should. I think part of game day for next season.
Well, there's something going on in the sport at the moment which it does require a bit of a chat, I think. Because it's gone a bit ninja warrior. It's one of the oldest sports in the Olympics. And it has featured pretty traditional sports, fencing and swimming and running and shooting and, until recently, show jumping. But show jumping has bitten the dust, and you'd think,
they'd call it even more modern pentathlon.
Well, ultra-modern pentathlon. And you think they'd now be looking for something similar and traditional to replace it, but not a bit of it. Say, they've gone ninja warrior. They're going to try a rope swing, monkey bars and a tsunami wall, whatever that is. Here to tell us more. Our horsey correspondent and our old friend, Rupert Bell. Good afternoon, Rupert.
It is always good to talk about something new, to keep it fresh.
Modern
pentathlon, not something I've watched a lot of, but I do know a little bit about. There's a couple of friends of mine who've competed in it, and I've worked with it. But the riding element is the thing that is causing its problems. It will still have the horses in Paris, but it's for the next Olympics in Los Angeles that they want to bring in the game show element to it, because they want television to try and make it seem relevant. And that is one of the big debates. First, it had it in 1912. It was very much an elite sport for amateur cavalry officers. And obviously that was the original people who were allowed to compete. A ranker who'd come through the if you were a lance corporal, you weren't allowed to compete in it because you were deemed to be a professional and you weren't all living from horses. What the difference is in having an officer who rode a horse in the army is, I know not, but that's how it started. And now it's sort of evolved into the current format, but they want to make it basically have a more appeal for TV. And that's why, you know, we've seen many different sports come into the Olympics, and modern pentathlon is a sport now having to review whether it's relevant. And it's the same with all the other equestrian disciplines, because they too are trying to make sure they seem relevant to a wider TV global audience, which drives the Olympics.
Dressage could have crazy golf. That'd be quite good as the course.
You have to sort of start trotting around the windmill and going sideways through the clown's mouth. They've already kind of gone down some of this road. They've gone a bit laser quest already, haven't they? They introduced these sort of laser guns into it rather than rifle shooting.
Yeah, and because that, obviously, they're trying to condense it into a one-day format. And presumably it's easier and probably doesn't require a great big range for, obviously, safety issues, so that you can have you go into the local laser hut, basically, and far away.
Yeah.
And then you carry on running. I think that's probably a very simplistic view. It's not quite how it works. But again, it's all part of trying to make it seem a more relevant sport for people to take part in. And that's its problem. But, you know, clearly the purists are up in arms, but the people behind then the modern pentathlon, the bigwigs there, say it's something that will make us more relevant and encourage people to take part in the sport. Well, All I remember when I used to have to try and do the monkey bars in the army, I used to hate it. And when I used to have to go up the wall, I didn't like it. So it's definitely something, again, with a military, they've looked at what sort of things are relevant within military training, the kind of games that they're additions they're bringing to the format.
Right. They can have that thing, that gun thing when they do it at the Royal Tournament, the Fleet Air Arm.
Fleet Air Arm. Yeah, that would be quite fun. Taking a gun apart.
The interesting thing about it, I think, which was fun, was the fact that the horse, it was random, wasn't it? The riders and the horses didn't know each other until they actually got on the horse.
You might get a pit pony, you might get a shire horse, you may get a pantomime horse. That was always, you didn't know what horse you were going to get till you turned up.
Well, this was the problem that appeared in last year's Olympics, is that someone got a horse and then didn't know and was actually doing really well until he or she got the wrong horse.
Yeah. She was a German rider, wasn't it? We were watching it live. It was a German rider. She was in floods of tears. It just started careering through the fences like it didn't think they were there.
Yeah, and then so therefore, you are dependent on the local organisers producing enough horses of the same standard so that everyone feels that they've got an equal chance. And clearly in this case, that the German rider, when she got onto the horse, you know, obviously went, the horse just was downing tools and not interested. And that is the problem, the lottery element. But in a sense, that is, you know, if you can get onto, jockeys get on a horse, most days they're getting on a horse they've never ridden before. And they're riding in races. So it is part of the rider's skill to be able to work out what that horse is doing and then try and make sure you get the best result possible. And that's the skill of the rider.
Yeah, I remember that horse. I backed it at Cheltenham this year.
I'm sure you did. It just seems on the face of it a bit of a mad idea because you've got all these traditional sports and now you've got these outlier monkey bar Ninja Warrior games. It all feels one. And I know there is there's a movement to try and protect it. It does feel a bit mad. Anyway, we'll move on to another story. Yesterday over in Punchestown, over in Ireland, Sawbuck, four-year-old gelding, had six starts and done nothing. Won at 300-1, the longest starting price of a winner. I think it's the joint ever. At one point it was 400-1, but came in. I think if somebody had £2 each way. And it came, I think it was, came in at 300-1. I mean, this is pretty rare, isn't it? And we're going to play the commentary in a moment, which I think summed up all the excitement of everybody at Punchestown yesterday. But before we do that, Rupert, pretty rare, a 300-1 winner.
Yeah, it is. And Conor O'Dwyer is the trainer. It was ridden by his son. Conor O'Dwyer might be familiar with listeners as he was a former jockey. He rode the Gold Cup winner back in the 90s and a really, you know, good lad. And obviously got this horse to produce right. It wasn't the biggest day of the year, and clearly it was a maiden hurdle, and clearly the form of this horse was pretty ordinary. Although, as you always get in post-race interviews, the horse had been working well at home and we hadn't lost faith. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to the commentary, it was underwhelming. I think Peter O'Hare, for Andy's sake, who does the commentary, is the son of the great Michael O'Hare, who did that famous Fine Avon commentary. The style is poles apart.
Yeah, so let's hear the commentary. I don't think Peter was really sort of summed up the sense of occasion of a historic 300-1 winner. This is how it all unfolded.
Sawbuck out in front. Jumps at about 2.5 in front. Ballybond Belter second. Vachito Lion behind them. Female approach. Less than 150 yards to race. And out in front it's Sawbuck and Charlie O'Dwyer leading by about 4 as they go to the line. And Sawbuck will win the opener for the O'Dwyers. Ballybond Belter second. Vachito third.
Yeah, quite understated there on Racing TV yesterday.
But I think your job's safe there, Rupert.
Well, clearly, that wasn't the biggest crowd at Punchestown. It wasn't like their festival of a few weeks back where they had 30-odd thousand. There was probably Conor O'Dwyer and the groom and a few others. There were plenty of runners, but clearly Peter was definitely not on.
He'd not had £100
That's
on that.
True,
he definitely
he had
not.
Been, he'd been going mad.
He would have been tears.
He would have definitely gone his father's route. Who, for people who don't, Michael O'Hare was Doyen, and he was the sort of Peter O'Sullivan equivalent in Ireland. Had this amazing voice and got very excited. And they're a racing family, but clearly. It was a surprise. We've seen, winner last year of the Irish Grand National was 150-1. I mean, I remember Norton's Coin winning the Gold Cup at 100-1 was deemed a major shock. Well, it was a major shock at the time. Even more so, the fact that I did actually back it.
Wow,
so,
that's the biggest shock of all. And it won.
Wow. Back in 1991, I think it was, in 1990. And it was
your last winner,
ago.
Rupert.
I'd love to hear Peter doing his father's great commentary. Castle Falls has fallen. Honey Ends gone. Oh, here comes the fuss.
Yeah, there we are.
Point even.
Fantastic point, even. Rupert, it's a kind of, it's like Leonard Cohen, the school of, school of racing commentary, really. Anyway,
well,
Rupert.
Less is more.
Yeah, less, yeah, that's right. Let's have a bit more understatement in commentary, you know. I mean, just say, Aguero. And I swear you'll never see anything like that again. It's as if, you know, it's Bob Harris, isn't it? It's just those moments. Okay. Some people are...
Emery for Great Britain. Who cares who's third?
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. Well, blimey, it is now. It's a different score,
it's different,
isn't it?
Approach,
it's just a different approach. Really, have you got any other great commentary moments you want brought to life
the
in
ashes,
the Peter
Ashes,
style?
The Ashes, England have won the Ashes.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Cheers, Rupert. Thanks very much.
Very good.
There we are. There's Rupert Bell there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yeah, Fraser makes the point, you know, Maggie Thatcher, Winston Churchill, your boys, we get the idea with that. But just a downbeat, the world of downbeat commentary, it could be very, very different.
It's very
really
good.
In the
fantastic
commentator's armoury, is it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We enter the world of low-key commentary after listening to Peter O'Hare call home the 301 winner at Punchestown yesterday in a very low-key way, considering it was only the second time it ever happened on a horse of that odds. Mm. And Anthony Cassidy says, England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins. The barest of margins. I put a bit too much into that, didn't I? Far too much into that.
That was the commentary, though, wasn't it? It was the New Zealand commentator.
Yeah, absolutely,
He basically did it like that.
And while we're... Well, no, he didn't.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we told you earlier on about a 300-1 winner was it Punchestown, wasn't it, yesterday, over in Ireland. And it's very, very rare that happens.
Only the second time
it's happened. I think it was over in Ireland, Leopardstown, a little while ago. So you would think, in the moment, the commentator, who was Peter O'Hare, son of the legendary Michael O'Hare, would just get wrapped up in the moment of knowing a bit of kind of co-history had happened. Well, not quite. This is Peter calling them home on Racing TV.
Sawbuck out in front. Jumps is about 2.5 in front. Ballybon Belter second. Vachito Lion behind them. Female approach. Less than 150 yards to race. And out in front it's Sawbuck and Charlie O'Dwyer leading by about 4 as they go to the line. And Sawbuck will win the opener for the O'Dwyers. Ballybon Belter second. Vachito third.
Maybe he was on Paddy Von Belter.
He probably was. And we wondered, maybe there is this school of very low-key commentary moments that we should have had more of over the years. Ben, the Spurs fan from Fareham, says, interesting, very interesting. Ah, just look at his face. Just look at his face. That one would have worked, wouldn't it? Yeah. Is this their moment? Beckham into Sheringham and Solskjaer has won it. Manchester United have reached the promised land, says Paul from Preston. It just doesn't bring it to life, doesn't it? Even Harry Carpenter saying, go on, Frank, says John. So another quick one.
I love football, Stan.
I love it. And what about this one from Roger? And Damon Hill comes around the final corner to become world champion. And I'm going to have to stop there before I get too emotional. Thank you for that.
Very good.
Yeah. So there we are. Thanks for all of those. Low-key commentary. It could be all the rage. Asa wants to know, is Andy still planking? Andy was 2 o'clock this afternoon. Andy was going to break the world planking record, although it is 9.5 hours. But a pensioner did it for about 10 minutes. But Andy says he can manage it. But anyway, he didn't do it. So sorry, Asa. He didn't follow through on that, I'm afraid. That's us. We're back tomorrow from 1. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.